Fellow auto detailers, welcome to the show that features interviews with today's most successful auto detailers. This is the Auto Detailing Podcast. Here's your host, Jimbo Balaam.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to this episode. Before we get into this episode, a couple super cool, finally have made it happen projects that I've been working on, at least one of them, and that is the Detailer Inner Circle, like I've been talking about for a long, long time. But one thing I've been putting an extreme amount of effort into is to somehow get you guys discount on chemical or free chemical. So starting now, if you're in the Detailer Inner Circle, you should be receiving a Jimbo kit of liquids. Now, this is going to include a compound, a polish, a dilutable waterless wash, a carpet cleaner, an APC. It's, when I totaled it out, it's about $350 worth of product that I've teamed up with a manufacturer. They have a house brand that's, I was going to say surprisingly, but it's not surprisingly, considering they make for a lot of other brands that are out in the marketplace. However, this is their branded product. I've teamed up with them to bring those in the Detailer Inner Circle. They get this welcome kit. Now, these aren't these little tiny 2 to 3 ounce sample bottles. These are full 16 ounce bottles of product. They wanted you to be able to sample. There's a spray wax in there as well. Wheel cleaner, iron decontamination. So we're talking like a significant amount of solid products. I've actually hand selected the products that I wanted to go in this kit. So when you sign up for the Detailer Inner Circle, you will get one of these kits sent out to you almost immediately after you sign up. And like I said, it's right around $350 worth of chemical. So that's 3.5 months worth of the Detailer Inner Circle in liquid chemical that you're getting completely for free. For just signing up for the Detailer Inner Circle, you get this kit of products. Now, if you're listening to this and you're currently in the Detailer Inner Circle, don't worry, they're on the way. All right, so we got that. So detailerinnercircle.com, well worth it. Again, just another added benefit to being aligned with me in the Detailer Inner Circle, free chemicals and good chemicals at that. And then beyond that, you get a special discount code to use only if you're in the Detailer Inner Circle, and all that gets talked about in the Detailer Inner Circle. So detailerinnercircle.com for that. Also, autofiber.com just released this last week a monthly microfiber package where Ian is going to send you one microfiber towel every month for a whole entire year. That's awesome because it lets you sample as you want. The incredible part is they have this introductory offer for $12 for the entire year, $1 a month. So I really want to rally behind Autofiber on this and see how many of you we can get to sign up. I think it's an incredible deal. It's literally $12 for the entire year, and you get 12 new towels. So at $1 a towel, I really don't even know how that's going to work. So if you want to sign up, the URL through Ian was a little long. I'm sure you could go to autofiber.com and check it out, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes below so you could just click it and go directly to that offer page. But incredible, two really, really exciting, incredible offers, Detailer Inner Circle and autofiber.com with their monthly subscription box now at $1 a month. It's a total no-brainer, and I would encourage you to check it out. Let's get into today's episode. All right, everyone, welcome to this episode. This is episode 374 of the Auto Detailing Podcast. I'm Jimbo, your host, and we have a return guest, but it's been, I guess, about 4 years, so this is going to be really exciting. This is Jennifer Turcott from Cars Metology. How's it going?
It's going great. It's great.
Thanks for coming back on.
Absolutely.
And I still think one of the best brands, at least brand name, right? Cars Metology. I think we talked about that last time, if my memory serves me right. I guess I'll bring back and throw up your episode that we did all of them years ago as a throwback Thursday.
Weird.
That'd be kind of cool.
I have people message me still and they're like, I just listened to your podcast.
Oh my gosh, that
is so cool.
That is so cool. So for those who haven't listened to that episode, do you want to give us kind of a short rundown of who you are, what Cars Metology is,
And then yes. kind of bring us up to speed of what's been going on.
Sure. So from the last podcast, I was kind of talking about my startup, I guess.
Yep.
I ended up kind of going out on a whim, walked out of my old job, got into a shop with no preparation pretty much. But I just, I guess you got to take those risks in order to grow. And so I got a shop that was, a lot of overhead, but I work. I've grown to, I've grown a lot. And I feel like the way that I did it was pretty smart. At the time, I didn't really agree with how I had to do it because, I was pretty much giving away my work.
Right.
But, that really helped me gain my reputation to where I'm at now. And, starting with $200 to $250 details, people questioning it, like some people question it, but, other people, they would get it and get their cars back and they absolutely could not believe all the work that was done for $200. Mm. So I feel like people like that, and I feel like this is where a majority of my growth came from, is when you get people like that that are super impressed by, the work that they got done for that price, they're going to go out and they're going to tell as many people as, they see that day.
Right.
Even more. And then that spreads the word and then more people call me and you kind of realize when to start raising your prices is when you can't really keep up with all the appointments.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge fan of free work. when you're in that moment of you just need cars coming through, right? You just got to do what you got to do to get your feet off the ground and not forever, right? I think a lot of people get hung up on that of like, well, how am I going to grow a business if I'm doing free work? I think what you just said is a great testament to it of like, do it until you literally can't do it anymore and then raise your prices. I love that.
Right. Well, there's that. And then, what else?
Botched your train of thought. Sorry.
No, you're totally fine. You're fine. I kind of learned, it seemed like every single year, I'd have more people, I have a lot of big brothers in this whole, industry that, look out for me and make sure that I'm, cause everybody's trying when you're a female, I mean, you could get this as a male too, but being a female, I get random people trying to ask me about doing opportunities with them and just all these other options to do things.
Mm.
And at first I was all like, oh yeah, maybe I should do this and go fly out there and train on that. Maybe I should go do this. Maybe I should go do that. When realistically I was like, okay, am I looking for other things to do because maybe I'm not making enough money at doing what I'm, good at? Like I'm good at detailing. I shouldn't veer myself away from that. And, kind of like my big brothers and stuff like that, they would tell me to watch out sometimes with certain people or certain things, certain offers. So it's always nice. I do really like that I have a good support system, a lot of big brothers looking out for me. So that was nice. I don't know if I mentioned back when I was talking to you before, but I ended up living in my shop for a year.
Wow.
Did I ever mention that? Yeah.
It's been so long. I don't remember. Yeah. If you want to talk about that, I think it's a great, great. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that probably go through struggles, when they're starting up their company because they're trying to figure out how to do the marketing, what products to bring in, stuff like that. So
Adam Patali from Adams lived in his shop for a couple years when he was starting Adams Polishes.
Yeah, I had I was in a decent was in a bad relationship, okay?
Mm.
And the boyfriend that I was in a relationship with me begged for me to live with him once I think he saw me getting my business started up and he was like, "Oh my god, I want to be with you," and all sorts of everything I wanted to hear.
right.
So I ended up moving in with him. Well, 3 weeks later, 3 months later, his best friend decided to tell me that he's been cheating on me the whole time. So I was like,
"Oh gosh."
So, me working 7 days a week during that time, I was just like, I kind of lost it. I lost myself. I ended up grabbing my dogs. I had two dogs at the time, grabbed all my stuff, went down to my shop, which was right down the road, and I ended up losing myself. I've never been a drinker. My mom's
My mom was an alcoholic when I was younger growing up, and I grew up at a very young age due to it. I lost my dad earlier. So I just, like, I didn't really have that many people there for me. So I just kind of lost it. And I started drinking. I started drinking to the point where I thought I was going to kill myself. It was like a wake up, drink, go to sleep, drink, wake up, drink. You know, it was somebody that I never thought I would ever be. But, you know, after about a month of doing that, you know, I finally kind of sobered up, and I'm, you know, that's when all of a sudden one day I just stopped what I was doing, and one of my buddies ended up hitting me up and asking me to help him detail because he had a last minute Tesla to do, and the Tesla people were coming the next day, like people actually from Tesla to look at this job. And I ended up grabbing all my stuff from the shop and going over there and helping him out until like 5-6 in the morning. And ever since then, I just kind of, like, thankfully I'm the kind of person where I can quit something real quick.
That's nice.
So, So I, you know, I got out of that little stint of depression because of a breakup. And, but I was living in my shop, and my landlord did not, I feel like she knew, but she opposed to it, but I still continued to live in there. I didn't, like, I, things were pretty rough. It was just kind of rough because I had to get up early at like 6 a.m. before anybody else came. So it made it look like I was already up.
And
I could never really just chill and hang around, hang out. You know, I was washing myself pretty much in this big, huge blue tub with like a garden hose, cause I didn't really have a shower in there. I had a bathroom in there, but.
And you're in Minnesota, right? So this isn't like you're in Hawaii, like showering in a tub.
It was cold. It was cold. It was during the, like, the breakup happened, like, right at Christmas. And I was in that shop until about April. But the thing is I was like, God, this really sucks right now. But I know that it's not always going to be like this. So I could have gotten rid of my shop. I could have gotten a place to live. I could have kind of put production down for a second. But I just, I couldn't do it. And I figured out ways to make my rent. I figured out ways how to, when I got my biannual bill, that was really great. It was pretty much like $2,300, and that's definitely not something that I had laying down.
Right.
But it's like you figure out how to make things work, whether it's you sit there and do 6 cars during the week, and you know, so you just figure it out.
Totally.
After I got out of that whole, you know, bad scenario, I ended up meeting somebody who is actually the owner of the place that I used to work for. I think I mentioned in the last podcast, Imola Motorsport.
Yeah.
That's the place that I used to work for, and I walked out. And about a year after I started my shop, the owner ended up talking to me, and, like, we went out a little bit. And I didn't really see anything about it, but then I kind of saw how sweet he was, and then we ended up starting dating. And it was a lot different than any other relationship that I've had because he's somebody that also works in the shop, which is amazing because we sit here until 10 o'clock at night some nights, you know?
Right, right.
He's not sitting there asking me whose car is that, how do you know him, who's texting you. Like, I'm not in the business to be some sort of, like, you know?
Totally.
Like, I pride myself on how professional I am, and I don't expect anything less than to be treated like that, you know?
Yep. And I think we talked about that. I think we at least touched on that, but I'm glad you brought it back up because I think when I had you on originally, like you mentioned before too, this industry is so male dominated, right?
That it's
refreshing to have a female perspective on it. Right. But then with that are different challenges that you would deal with as a female business owner versus a male business owner, you know? So I could, So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, being in this industry for about 5 years now, well, I mean, I've been in it for a while, but actually having my own business, I have definitely learned that I've gone through situations, let's just say that, and there's reasons, there's certain companies that I think are okay, that I'd still pass by and say hi, and I'm cordial with them, but there's a few people in certain you know, companies that I have no respect for, you know,
right.
But that doesn't, I don't categorize that whole company like that. It's just, unprofessionalism, with a few people.
Yep.
So I've learned a lot. I've learned how there's alternative motives with some people, and you just got to be careful. So every, you know, I have some girlfriends. I got one girlfriend that I ended up training from Massachusetts, and she's just kind of getting into this. It's her second year. So it's very nice for me to be able to, you know, she's just working in another shop with a guy, and it's fun for me to be able to actually, like, help her out. And
mentor her in
help
a way,
her.
Huh?
Yeah, I just like to look after her.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, I don't know, going through the industry, you find out a lot, like, how people really are, you know? I'm the kind of person where no matter what, I don't care if you use a different brand. I don't know. I don't care if you detail a certain way. I mean, we're all in this together, and I'm trying to be supportive, and I just want the best for everybody, you know?
100%.
Right. There's enough cars to go around, and I don't know why, and I'm not trying to have people just, like, hate me here right when I say it, but it's like sometimes I think, God, there's more females in this industry than we think, because I don't see myself posting. I don't have time to go online and, like, whine about stuff. I don't know what you want to say, but it's the things that I just don't see any point in it, you know?
Right.
Besides causing controversy that doesn't need to get – nothing's going to get solved.
Right.
I guess I'm just somebody that likes to put my head down and keep working, and if somebody has a problem, like – I don't know. I guess it's their own problem.
It's true. It totally does. You know? And one thing I always like to say is, like, other detailers, well, and I guess it gets kind of convoluted because if you do training, and I have a couple other things where detailers do pay some of my bills, but for the most part, if you're a detailer, other detailers don't pay your bills. Customers do.
Yeah, no.
Right? So it's like, why get into feuds with other detailers when they really have no impact on your day-to-day life? You're just creating drama and issues for what? Like, I don't get it. But you know what I mean?
I don't get it either. Like, and the fact that I have, you know, I have a pretty good support group on social media, but it doesn't make it, you know, I do notice that I got 22,000 followers, and I probably got about 2,000 max that, you know, are active. So that means the rest are ghosting me. And I'm just like, are those all people that are just watching to see what I do and they're haters? I don't know.
Right,
but
right.
I do get a lot of troll comments that I just feel are very unneeded. Because I don't sit there and go on people's page and say, "Hey, you're doing this wrong," or, "Oh, looks like you're using another brand." I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I am using another brand, but you know what? Maybe those other brands weren't a good fit for me. You know, do you use the same toothbrush, you know, toothpaste every single day? Do you eat at McDonald's every day just because it's good? No, there's other places that are good that might be a better fit for you, you know?
Totally.
So I just feel like people just pick things to try and pick me apart somehow. And realistically, you can catch me on a bad day. I'm a chick. There's a certain time that chicks get upset. Yeah, maybe those are the days that I should not be on social media.
Sure.
But... Sorry, I'm just a very transparent.
No, I love it. It's awesome.
Okay. But I just, like, most of the time I'm just like, yeah, I don't care if you would have rather had white walls on your your shop. That's, I'm great. I'm happy for you.
Right. You know, chances are they don't even have a shop.
I don't use.
Right.
Yeah, I don't use some of the stuff that you don't use, but I'm not going to sit there and troll on your account and tell you that your work is crap.
Yeah,
I don't have time for it.
Yeah, I never understood that whole trolling on other people's social profiles. Like, you have that much time? Like, that's crazy,
you know,
to
it me. Really, it all in reality, if you really think about it, if you were happy enough in your life, in all aspects of your life, like, you know, maybe you're not making enough money, but you're still happy and you're content with where you're at, or you're making a lot of money, or you've got your family on, you know, just if you're truly happy at where you're at, you don't need to be sitting there knocking anybody else down, you know?
Totally.
So apparently most of these people just maybe aren't happy enough in their own life.
Right.
And it's not like I want to go around and tell people that, because then it gets them thinking, and then, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Maybe they do need to hear it. I don't know. But I just hope, hopefully, me being in the industry, I hope somehow I can, you know, change it a little bit. I have been a lot more active in like detailing pages and groups and stuff like that. Mm. I just hope I can help make a change somehow, because there's just certain things that, like I said, I don't understand why everybody's got to have egos.
Totally.
You know, all these coatings are pretty much like
the same.
Kind of the same. They're coating.
Right.
You know,
I was talking to someone. Totally. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were like, oh, you need to, you know, be certified to install this coating. And I'm like, I've installed so many coatings. Like, to pay to learn how to install a coating to me is just like, oh, so frustrating. Like, they're the same. I know they're different, but they're the same.
Yeah. They're usually easily things that somebody can walk you over on the phone. There's so when it comes to like Kenzo, our top tier coding with IGO, we do like to have, you know, people, if they had just started off with like kind of entry level coding,
sure,
to come that out I understand. For that one.
Right.
And there's certain people where if I see that they have enough experience like doing codings, I see you know, walk around with you know, their phone and it's like direct sunlight in a black car, you know,
sure.
If I get some pictures like that, I'm okay with accepting them in like our first three coatings.
Sure.
If I see them being super committed and, you know, it all kind of shows, like, commitment shows a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to protect the brand. I don't want to just have anybody and everybody using it if they're not going to be installing it correctly.
Sure.
So if you
don't
want to install it, then yeah, like, frick, I have no problem with, you know, certifying you.
Right.
You know, but it's got to be justifiable to me.
Totally.
You know?
So, Ket, because we're starting to get into kind of where you're at now. So you went, you know, kind of through this rough period. Where has that led you to now? So what is your, what does your company look like now?
So cosmetology, I was doing cosmetology after I left the one shop that I was living in. Well, Kevin, my boyfriend, he actually, like, he's like, oh, you should come live with me, you know, and I'm like, oh, no, I don't really want to get burned again. So I ended up, like, finally, and he was trying to, like, this is before we were dating, but he's, I could tell that he's like, hook me up with one of your friends, and I'm like, dude, I don't know if that's you telling me that you're trying to hook up with me and that's your code, or if you really want me to hook you up with my friends. So I tried to hook him up. My girlfriend wasn't having it, and then I saw how sweet was, so that, you know, we started dating. Once I started living with him, it was a lot easier for me to kind of, I don't know, it was, I could actually start doing things, you know, and feel like a normal person again, because I didn't really feel normal at all for a while. But so anyway, I ended up getting out of the shop that I was at, my shop that was in like North Minneapolis, which wasn't the best area, I tell you. And after I got out of there, I ended up moving all my stuff out, because in reality, that space was kind of small for me also. It was like 1,000 square feet. And I wanted more than that. So my boyfriend's detailer at the time, he wasn't really doing ceramic coating. So I was like, you know, I look at it as wanting to help my boyfriend pull in more money, because you can only make like they were having their details done for like $350. I'm like,
right.
You're not going to make any money doing that.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So I ended up going in there, started doing ceramic coatings, that started working. And then all of a sudden they started doing ceramic coatings. One of the guys that used to work for him, we call him, I'm not going to say what we call him, but I mean, unless it's okay.
It's up to you. If you want people to hear it, I don't care.
Yeah, we called him Douche Herman because he's just a douche. Like, he's just a douche to people.
Got it.
But he was like, he went up to the other detailer that was working there at the time and was like, hey, I see how much she's making on these. Why don't we do it here in my, and she doesn't do our vehicles? Because I was doing my vehicles and I was doing their vehicles. So they would do all the correction and coding and, like, I would code it. So it was kind of easy for me a little bit. I still had to do my corrections, but
sure.
They got their set up for me. So they started doing the ceramic coatings. So, and the first time I went in there, that's the point of the whole thing, was for me to help them out, get ceramic coatings in there. But what happened when I went in there is they're like, you just do all the ceramic coatings. So I was like, okay, fine. But then they kind of like didn't tell me, and then they started doing it, and I was like, whatever, fine. I'm not really threatened. I still got my clients. So I started doing my clients out of there. They were doing theirs. I was using, I think it was like SB3 at the time, Ceramic Pro and SB3 at the time.
Okay.
Quit using them. And then I ended up trying out G-Technique.
Mm-hmm.
G-Technique, and by the time, so the first year I was using Ceramic Pro and SB3. And then after that, I didn't really like using them anymore. And so I switched over to G-Technique. Well, that summer was the summer that I decided to just subcontract out of there. I was subcontracting out of there, kind of. Fuck, I just confused myself. Oh, my God, I just swore. Okay, so.
You're good. You're good.
Okay. I was subcontracting out of there. The following year after that, after the whole G-Technique year, which, or maybe it was the G-Technique year. Sorry, I'm getting confusing. I ended up merging with Emola because it made more sense for me. Like, they had already lost their detailer. So I'm like, okay, well, it's time for me to, you know, get shit done because
right.
That's what I like to do. I'm like a workhorse. So I took over the whole back detail bay. I was doing like 5 details at a time, sometimes 10 projects throughout the whole week. Like, I'm there from 7 in the morning till 10 at night, but it's what I love to do. It's,
right.
It's insane. Like, I would rather be in the shop than anywhere else. It's definitely a first home. Yeah, and it's just getting worse than now that I got this whole other new detail bay. Jesus Christ. But I was subcontracting out of his place for about, I don't know. It started like, it's been like 2 years now, but
okay.
Now it's very nice that, because me doing all the manual labor when I was doing this on my own for parasitology, and then trying to do all the book work,
right.
You know, that sort of stuff in the end, it was very stressful for me because
yeah.
All I wanted to do was just punch in and punch out and take care of the customers.
Gotcha.
I didn't want to have to do any of that other stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It worked better for me to merge with Kevin, who's my boyfriend. And, you know, now I have health insurance and I have a 401k and I have, you know.
Awesome.
Aflac and all sorts of crazy stuff. So it's,
you're like, all this stuff that you don't get as a business owner.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice. I get PTO. So,
yeah.
And reality, and I do cars and I get a decent chunk of percentage wise because they're both my cars and his cars.
Right.
I've been bringing a lot of money in for both of us because, like I said, I'm a workhorse and
right.
I like to work on 5 different things at the same time.
So refreshing to do that too, if like, you know, the business side of things isn't, you know, you just want to do cars and work. It's like, it can be so exhausting. Yeah, it could be so exhausting to do all the other stuff. And if you can get someone to take advantage of, or take over that, so refreshing.
Yeah, I feel so much for those people out there that do it all themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all themselves. And if they're a one-person show, I even give them more props because it is... Like, I was so busy in the summer. We have the biggest cars and coffee here in the United States. It's once a month.
Wow.
And we host up to 10 to 15,000 people. And, you know, my name gets around. Summertime, it's like insane. Wow. So for me to have to do all that stuff, I probably won't be able to put in as good as work as I'd like to. So
right.
I don't want to be stressed out. I want to be present there for the customer and
and
stuff
so,
like that.
So do you have people helping you do the details as well there?
No.
Okay, got it. So
no.
You still
no.
Are the sole person there.
I've tried. I think I might have mentioned in the past that I had people try to work with me.
It's like the most
maybe.
Frustrating thing ever to try to have people
most frustrating thing ever.
Work with you.
Well, because I have, like, my standards are so high, and like I get some people that come in and they're super pumped about it and they do really good at first.
Yep.
But I'm the kind of person where, you know, I give them the whole golden handcuffs, which is like
yep.
$20 an hour for no experience.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it comes excuses. And it's like, I got to do this and my kid that. And I gave one girl, I'm like, you give me your schedule so I know when to know that you're there.
Right.
You know, I know you got a kid. Let me help you. That didn't work. Coming in late. Not giving a shit.
Right.
One girl was like, how do I make my makeup stay on? Because it was so humid. I'm like,
right.
You don't wear it. We don't wear it on these days.
Right.
You know, you shower after work and you'll be a new person. But, and, you know, and then just people, I just couldn't handle it. It's just, I can't afford to do a job over here when I have four other jobs and then go back and have to redo everything on a different car. I just don't have time for that.
Before we started recording, you mentioned that you're maybe doing some training as well. So did that come in through IGL, or how did that come about?
So, actually coming to where I'm at now, I was doing G-Technic last summer. And during that last summer, like, I liked the product until the humidity hit. And there were certain products on their line that I, you know, I had a few customers come back and question and didn't make me feel good. And now I'm probably going to have to do a couple redos this year, just because I feel bad in my heart that, you know, somebody's Porsche Turbo got a job on and it's not beating like it should. So, like, that's every one of those cars is special to me.
Right.
And I'm, you know, once he comes back from Palm Springs, I told him I'm doing it over again.
Got it.
So,
and
I
the humidity,
he was messing with my coating so bad. Like, we just moved into a smaller shop, but our other shop was 32,000 square feet. Mm. And when those garage doors opened, it was so humid in there. So the humidity would mess with the coating and it would make it kind of like a hazy color, or you would wipe it on and then you would do your two towel system or three towel and it would look like you're scratching the coating. It was just a nightmare.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, and I was told to ice the bottles or add more product to the applicator pad. And I'm like, look, I'm already adding 30 milliliters on this car. I'm not going to put any more.
Right.
So I just, it wasn't working for me. So I picked IGL off the counter or in the cupboard or whatever, and I put it on a car. And every single IGL coating I've ever done, I can't tell you how much the customer loves it. And they send me messages. They even stop up at the shop and, like, show me with their wife that they're cruising around town and how to, you know, they love it. So I'm just like, I mean, I told G-Technic, I'm like, I love you guys, but I gotta go.
Right.
You know?
It's just not
and
working.
And they completely understood.
Sure.
Yeah. It just, it wasn't a good fit for me. And, so yeah. And then all of a sudden I called Joel with the company of IGL, and he's always called me, you know, periodically just to see how I'm doing. And, I called him up and I was just like, yeah, he's like, how's it going with G-Technic? I'm like, it's going pretty good. I just see myself being more than just a detailer, though. You know, I know what I have to offer. I know I want to help people grow. I you know, I want to give more than just, you know, polishing a car is only so much to me, but
sure,
helping people grow their businesses and teaching them something and making them wow and restoring their faith and like how detailers want to help. And it's kind of like a family, you know, it's like a family feel.
Totally.
So, I love it. I've loved it ever since I jumped on last year, and now I'm hosting trainings, and I'm pretty excited. I'm very anxious. I'm very stoked that everybody is actually. Some people are coming up here from Florida, like three people from Florida, one person from Arkansas who's never even seen snow or gone on an airplane or used an Uber.
Oh my gosh. What are they? Yeah. Are they like 6 years old? Just kidding.
No. It's this Asian dude with the thickest Arkansas accent.
Wow, that's so cool.
I can't. Yeah, it is.
I have a Japanese friend that said he was learning Spanish, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's going to be so interesting. That's going to be so cool.
It is going to be interesting, especially when he goes into like, you know, a restaurant.
Totally.
And he starts speaking
Totally.
It. Yeah.
Totally. That's awesome.
It's going to be pretty cool on Saturday. I got a couple. So one thing that I noticed in like most trainings that I've ever gone to is the cars are pretty much brand new and they're white or they're silver. Mm. So I just, you know, everything that I kind of feared walking out of a training event was, what do I do when I get in the real world and I got a black car in front of me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So polishing out a black car and getting it perfected prior to coating was, It was a bitch when I was using G-Technic. You know, I was honestly dreading every time a coating came in that was black Porsche because I knew I was going to be sitting there for going to be a 16-hour day because I knew I was going to be polishing that out. And I wasn't using the right polish. And finally, and maybe there is another polish out there. I guess Rufus yellow stuff, and a yellow pad is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I haven't tried it yet. But I have, stop it right now, girlfriend. Okay, so Ideal's F3 polish, their finishing polish.
Mm.
That's pretty much the most important thing in the Ideal line for me because it sets it up. It's not a primer polish, but it polishes it out so it's absolutely perfect. There's no fillers in it. So when you take that IPA wipe, it's like crystal clear. It's black. It's a mirror.
That's huge.
So yeah, that's really huge. What the hell was I talking about before that? About
training and setting up the training and stuff. Yeah.
So yeah, now I got a couple Porsches here, and I got my mommy's got a black Jetta last year, and that's got super black, super soft black paint. So we got, you know, I want people to try that stuff out, so when they leave here, they know what to do.
That's amazing. So it really sounds, and I'm so glad that you kind of talked about, I'm not glad that you went through it, but I'm glad you mentioned it, like the rough spot to kind of, persevering through that, getting to where you're at now. It sounds like a awesome position that you're in, right? And with a couple additional revenue streams with that. And so where do you see kind of going forward? Do you want to do more training? Where do you kind of see, if you could, I don't know. Where do you see Gentrico Cars Metallurgy or the motorsports company? What is it called again? Sorry, I forgot.
Imola Motorsports.
There you go. Where do you see that going?
Yeah.
More importantly.
What I'd like to do is I want to keep training.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to go kind of like what my buddy is doing, Marcus Parsley. He is actually one of the biggest reps for IGL.
Okay.
Him and Joel, the owner, they've taken me under their wing, and I couldn't be more grateful. It's like, to be completely honest, all the other coding companies, like a couple of them were great, a couple of them weren't, but there's a couple that, like, I don't know, I kind of felt like an orphan, and I just wanted like a coding company to look at me and not use me, but like utilize me, you know,
right.
Utilize me for what I want to do. And I know I'm capable of helping people and like I said, restoring the faith that like there's other detailers out there that like want to help you genuinely.
Right.
And I one thing that I really want to do, and Marcus does this, is he travels around the United States. He goes and pops in different shops. And I've talked about that I wanted to do this like years ago. But to see Marcus actually doing it and that it's working, it's amazing. But he goes and stops at different shops, you know, bullshits with his like friends. Some are his accounts. Some people aren't even his accounts. He just wants to stop by and say what's up because we're good people. We just want the best and for everybody pretty much, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
We all kind of work together, all the reps and mentors. You know, if I have an account, somebody else is talking with that person usually, you know, says, you know, I'm here to help you, but this person's your rep, and you know, sure, we all kind of help each other out. So that's really cool. With Imola Motorsports, I do still see myself working here. I'm always going to work here. This is pretty much my home. But I do plan on, I want to change this into just a training facility and to possibly just kind of like work on vehicles, you know, certain vehicles in the summer.
Sure.
But I'd like to be able to travel around. I want to travel around and just, you know, maybe call somebody that I've been talking to on Instagram or something for the longest time and just be like, hey, so what are you doing today? And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm popping through the door and like, I'm like, what's up?
Right.
<You know? laughs> Like, I just want to do awesome things like that. I want people to know that I freaking care, you know?
Yeah.
I want to help you bust through this car that you're just dreading, or let's coat this thing, and let's go get a munch, or talk about whatever you want to talk about, how to grow, or what your next step is, or, you know, just anything. I love nerding out with other detailers.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this has been great. I've really, really enjoyed kind of catching up and hearing about all that. I think that there are going to be detailers that want to be trained by you, want to come train, want to just kind of follow your journey, connect with you, how can people get a hold of you? How can they, if they're interested in training, how can they get a hold of you for that? If they just kind of want to pick your brain, how can they do that?
So what I would say is the best way to get a hold of me could either be through Facebook, or they can always call me anytime. My number is 952-956-2796. And if I don't answer, it's probably just because I'm buffing or talking to a customer or something like that. But I'll get back to them as soon as possible. Otherwise, I am on Instagram at Carsmetology. I do have on my website, there is a way to email in if that works. It's www.carsmetology.com. And I think that might be everything.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to
take time out of your day. Yeah, I appreciate talking to you again.
And it's been awesome.
Yeah, time flies.